My man, Carl. Carl was in Acts Bible College, I believe, when I met him. And he was the zealous. His favorite movie is Braveheart. Come on.
You've come here to fight us free men. And free men you are. What will you do with your freedom? Will you fight? Oh, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take money, not our freedom!
Braveheart.
That real tender moment in the spirit just got blocked.
Gone, baby, gone.
Carl has a call to be a revivalist. Has been going to Ireland for a number of years. One of the churches he's gone to frequently is where Robin Mark is the worship leader.
Yes.
And the Lord has released signs and wonders, healings through Carl. And now he's in the battle of his life. Serious cancer. And he sent me a text a couple days ago that he'd come back. He's on a very revolutionary treatment plan. And I just really felt to have him share tonight. He's that kind of next generation. And all right, Carl, you're on.
Woo! Tonight, I just want to share for a few minutes on the message, the greatest sign. What is the greatest sign of the times? We're in the times of the signs, but what's the greatest sign? This is not going to be a message about blood moons and solar flares, baby. It's going to be a message about the advancement of the gospel, the harvest in the nations. That's the greatest sign. Now, today in the earth, the Holy Spirit is on the move. Jesus Christ is still on the move in His church to bring the final message of His love to the nations. But there are certain places where that's happening in revival and awakening. And there are other places where it's not happening. They've documented on a video over 1,000 awakenings currently taking place in the earth. And none of them are happening in Europe or the UK. Only 10 of them are happening in the U.S. You say, well, what's happening here? Well, we've heard about it. But the Spirit of God is still so on the move. And He is calling the church tonight to catch a fresh vision for Jesus Christ to the nations. Now, Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24 is apocalyptic literature. That means that Jesus, the prophet here in this case, is referring to all the minor and major prophets as he is speaking about both the destruction that was coming upon Jerusalem and what's coming to the end. Now, I've studied this pretty closely the last few years. And does it mean, Carl, Matthew 24 and all these signs, wasn't this all fulfilled in the first century? Yes. But as prophetic language, cannot also Matthew 24 have a prophetic double symbolism and also refer to not only the church age, but the end of time? Yes. So it carries with it potency. And he goes through the whole list of things that he's talking about for both what happened in the time that he was prophesying this up until the time of 70 AD. All of these things took place. He speaks here in chapter 24, verse 11, false prophets, lawlessness, people's love growing cold. He who endures until the end shall be saved. And then this beautiful verse, verse 14, please. Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. And that is what is yet to be fulfilled. And that is the greatest sign. And that is yet coming, possibly in our own generation. And I'm going to tell you now a few stories from revival that will show you how the sovereign God is on the move to reveal the love of Jesus Christ, the love of His Son, the power of the gospel to the nations, so that all might have a chance to say yes to Jesus in the world.
Amen. Amen.
It's a simple, humble moment. You accept the sacrifice of your Savior Jesus upon the cross. You accept the covering of His blood. You say yes to the Father's love, and He comes. And it is my prayer that you'll be stirred tonight to go. Yes. To get off your butts and stop waiting for the rapture of the millennium and just get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Yes. Sorry, I stepped on a few toes. Yes, I did. I stepped on some of your toes when I did the Braveheart thing because it was very loud. Now, I want to talk a few stories of how the Sovereign Lord is on the move, how He's been on the move for generations, and in particular our generation. Three men in the 1930s whom the Sovereign Spirit of the Lord called. The first one is a young man of 24 named J. Edwin Orr. This is the first edition from his book, Can God? 10,000 Miles of Miracles in Britain. This is a man of 24 in Belfast whom God called, said, you know what, if you'll believe me for a harvest and for workers and agree in prayer with a prayer partner, we'll see revival in Belfast. So he got on his knees with one other person and prayed for 2,400 workers in Belfast, Ireland. And in 1933, 2,400 harvesters from all the districts around Northern Ireland came together for a conference like this. 2,400 people filled the streets of Belfast, said, let's take Jesus to the nation of Ireland. And in the midst of revival, God said, would you go to Britain for me and sow seeds of prayer and revival? He said, Lord, I don't have any money. The Father said, that's okay, I'll take care of you. He said, well, Lord, how will I go? He said, well, what do you have? He said, I have a bicycle. He said, that'll do. So off he goes. This book is the record of an entire year of him going among these towns in Britain, sowing seeds for revival. Divine appointment after divine appointment happened. Father met all of his needs. He came back with 25 cents in his pocket that he had left with. But all of his needs had been met for a year, 1933 and 34. Amen. The same year, over in Wales, another nobody, another nothing guy named Rhys Howells was in this little Bible college.
Right.
And he was an intercessor for God. And he came downstairs one morning to get his coffee. And the Lord said, Rhys, would you believe me for every creature to hear the gospel? Rhys said, sure, Lord. He said, Rhys, how about I fulfill that word in you, in prayer? Okay, let's have a go at that. Yes, Lord. So he gave him a commission. It's called the Every Creature Commission. Did you know about this? 1933, it was a commission to pray for 30 years for 10,000 workers, servants of the Lord, to go out starting in the 1930s. Now, what was happening in the 1930s? The war was brewing in Europe. Satan had called Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and the Emperor of Japan in darkness because he was trying to fulfill his destiny to be worshipped in this world. At the same time, Jesus calls little J. Edwin Orna's bicycle. My book is falling apart. And Rhys Howells in Wales says, no, we're going to pray for the Great Commission, every creature to be established. And so what happened during that prayer time is God answered those prayers. And by the 1950s, you had the answers of the prayers for the Every Creature Commission going everywhere. Reinhard Bonnke was called and went to Africa. Lauren Cunningham started YWAM. So many works. Billy Graham began preaching in Los Angeles. All these things were happening. There were 500 people like me, tent crusade evangelists in the 1950s, going all over the country telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
And the same year, Smith Wigglesworth was called to go down to South Africa. He was staying at the home of David Du Plessis. One morning, he walked into Du Plessis' office and he grabbed him by the shirt and he shoved him up against the wall. And he prophesied. And he prophesied the last wave. He said, it's going to begin in the middle part of the century. This is a CD of it. Pretty powerful. I listened to it last week. He prophesied There was coming a move of the Spirit that would start within the traditional churches. It would outspread from there. Now, in his languages, it would affect the laity first and then the clergy, and it would go to the world. Hardly anybody at this point was filled with the Spirit in the traditional churches. The Pentecostal movement had been a wave which crashed on the shores and then receded. And now God was saying, through Smith Wigglesworth, to David Duplessis, a young man 32 years of age, who had never traveled anywhere, you're going to go all over the world for me and take the gospel and take the Holy Spirit. And he was used by God mightily for 30 years to bring the power of the Holy Spirit. And today there are over 800 million tongue-speaking, Holy Spirit-baptized people in the world. They came from nowhere. I got one more for you. In 1810, our country was going through a period like now. There was darkness overspreading. This great revival had come with the awakening of Whitfield and others, and that had receded now. And there were two young men at Rhode Island College who were the disdain of all the Christians there because they made fun of them. They were the top two students of Rhode Island College in 1810. Their names were Adoniram Judson and Jacob Ames. Judson decided he would use his brilliant mind for the theater. So he took off on horse about 6 months after graduation. He had gone to visit New York. He came back late one night. It was very late. He was extremely tired. He stopped at an inn on his way back to his home in Malden, Massachusetts. As he arrived at the door of the innkeeper said, "Sir, I'm very sorry. We have no room tonight. You're going to have to ride on." Judson said, "Sir, you don't seem to understand. I'm exhausted. I'll sleep in the barn. I'll sleep anywhere. Where can I sleep?" The man said, "Well, I was a little hesitant to give you one of the rooms here, sir, because the adjacent room, a man lies dying and he's screaming out in fits of profanity." Judson said, "I don't care. Give me the room." Checked in, he laid down, but he couldn't sleep that night because through the wall on the other side, that man in that bed was screaming out literally as if he was dropping down into hell. About 2 a.m, Judson fell asleep. In that morning, the next morning, he was checking out. He said, "By the way, what happened to that man last night?" He said, "I'm very sorry, sir. He died on our hands." And here's what we can't understand. He was one of the most brilliant minds of our generation. He just graduated from Rhode Island College, and his name was Jacob Ames. And suddenly, Judson realized the man that died in the bedroom adjacent was his best friend from Rhode Island College, Jacob Ames. He got onto his horse. He started back to Malden, Massachusetts. As he was riding his horse through the countryside, all he could hear was the thundering of the hooves and his voice of conscience, "Death, hell, death, hell, death, hell." And halfway home, he dismounted from his horse and he got on his knees and he said, "Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. Come and fill my life. Send me anywhere." And he became a follower of Jesus. Judson became the first missionary ever sent from this nation. He decided he would go to India. When he arrived there, the Indian authorities persecuted him and sent him out of the country. He ended up in Burma, where his first wife died from disease. They persecuted him in Burma, and for many years he suffered. He suffered what Jesus said would happen to the church in Matthew 24. He went through persecution after persecution, loneliness and suffering, but he decided he would take the Bible and translate it into Burmese and Thai to be the first Bible they would ever have read. So he gave his heart to this. Toward the end of it, he became sick. They put him on a ship back to Malden, Massachusetts. He died on the boat en route, but not before he had finished the first translation of the Bible into Burmese. On his gravestone in Malden, Massachusetts, are written these words: "Here lies the body of Adoniram Judson, born 1788, died 1850. The ocean his sepulcher. Translated the Bible into Burmese. His record is on high." Now, I ask you in closing, what will be your record
when you get laid in the ground and they bury you? Will it be you did this or this, or will it be you took the commission of the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously? It'll mean for you a reordering of your time, a reordering of your finances, a reordering of your life, a refocusing of what can I do to help witness Jesus, to evangelize, to bring the truth of Jesus to the culture. When you finish your race, you want your record to be on high. And we are so close to the end. I'm out of time. I don't have time to share the statistics, but we are so close. We are so close. One statistic. There are 6,800 languages in the world today. 1,800 of those languages do not yet have a Bible translated into their language. And Wycliffe is working on 1,500 of those 1,800. We are close to finishing the work of the gospel in the nations. What will be your part? Jesus is waiting for you to go. Fulfill the Great Commission. Get into that harvest field. Be called of Him. Get on your face before Him. Fast and pray. Be filled and be one of those that goes forth to the nations. And then your record will be on high. Amen. Yeah.